You know, my mother, God bless her, said all you know about is music. And she was kind of right.
Warden threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing, let it rock.
Music has never let me go. It's got this, you know, for better or worse, and generally better. Very little worse, actually. Well, no worse, actually, quite honestly. I can sit there and bore the pants off someone about, you know, where a track was recorded and who the trumpet player was and, you know, was it raining that day? I love it. I really do. Because it's a lubrication. You know, music can travel around the world, and even, you know, if someone in China hears a song and they don't necessarily have to know the words, or vice versa, it can still move you. Because it's a sonic, it's an energy.
Broadcasting on 208 meters, this is your station of the stars, Radio Luxembourg.
I would get my new music off Radio Luxembourg, the station of the stars, Fab 208.
Well, come on in for a midnight spin. It's midnight with Matthew for a high time in pie time.
Listening at school with the little transistor radio under my pillow. It was verboten. It wasn't considered what a young gentleman should be doing listening to this tacky pop music, rock and roll stuff. So 208, wonderful. The single would fade in and out.
The makers of Golden Crispy Crunchy and the makers of Sun Silk Shampoo.
My love of music went completely on fire, completely flammable in the most benign way, majestic way. When I was 11 years old, I was at prep school in Sussex, a place called Abbotsford, and I heard this record on the radio. And I was never ever the same since. It had the most incredible riff, and the lyrics were, they say it's gonna die, but honey, please let's face it, there just ain't nothing that's gonna replace it. Ballads and calypsos ain't got nothing on real country music that just drives along, a honey movie. Da 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 da. And it was by this new singer who'd been born in India, a fellow called Harry Webb, who changed his name to Cliff Richard, and this was the B-side of his first single. Now, dear listeners, you could say, oh my God, Cliff Richard, what was this chap doing getting enthralled by this sort of, who is now a sort of mums and dads cuddly guy? When Cliff Richard started, he was really raunchy and rude and sexy, and the New Musical Express said it's a disgrace to have someone being obscene on television like this. You know, he needs an operation if he's going to carry on. He's wearing more eyeliner than Jane Mansfield. I thought, that's my chap. Cliff was raunchy and sexy, and ever since then I was never the same. Then I went back to Elvis and so on and so forth. My last year at school was in Dublin. Generally, at that point in time, the Irish landscape was populated by show bands. There were something like 700 professional show bands in Ireland. And what show bands were, they were sort of human jukeboxes mirroring what was happening in the charts at the time. You know, so they didn't really have any specific musical arrow. They were just kind of a mirror, and that's what people liked.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
But then underground, there's this thing bubbling up, beat groups and beat sellers and so on and so forth, and rock and roll was rearing its ugly head.
She looked
good, she looked fine, and I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me.
My first job while I was still at school here in Dublin was a TV show, Picking the Pops, on Telefijeren, black and white TV station coming from Dublin 4, Donnybrook. And what it was a sort of a panel program where they would play a record. Larry Gogan was the presenter, the great Larry Gogan. And you would vote whether it would be a hit or a miss. And sometimes they would have guest people on, you know, Manfred Mann or something, or, you know, the Fontana show band from Cork, who did the B-side of their record, Slow Down, the Larry Williams song that the Beatles had done. And the singer and the guitarist was Rory Gallagher. What did they see in me? Some young kid unburdened by responsibility and rationality, and a chap, instead of having blood in his veins, had notes of music whizzing around. I first went to London in 1966, and I got a job driving a bread van, which was wonderful because, you know, the shift would start at midnight. It was in Wardour Street, just down the road from where the Marquee was, you know, so I would see fantastic bands and stuff like that, really amazing bands, and then go and drive a bread van. Probably one of the most honourable things I've ever done, job-wise. It had already swung, and it was still swinging in the late 60s. I went back there in 1969 to kind of go and live there, and it was wonderful. I got a job at Apple Records, which was the Beatles record company, and that was just amazing because there was the Fab Four. It's my employers. I never knew who I imagined, you know. I mean, it was kind of mayhem, but benign mayhem and a lot of laughter.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
First saw them at the Cavern, I thought they were incredible because they were still a little bit untamed. They hadn't gone all sort of suits and everything like that. They were a real fantastic rock and roll band. John Lennon playing incredible rhythm guitars, you know, with this great voice leading the troops over the top. It was fantastic.
Gentlemen, if I may, please. Tell me, first of all, is the haircut an act by accident or design?
Accident.
You didn't have time to get your hair cut in the first place.
No, it just happened, you know. Ringo's was by design, because he joined later.
I designed it.
I saw the Rolling Stones, the Ulster Hall in Belfast, and complete mayhem. They played for 12 minutes before they had to flee. And not only did half the audience faint and go bonkers, but a policewoman fainted.
I can't get no
Belfast audience was Irish weather, Irish railways.
A lovely Belfast concert, lovely. I don't like Irish weather much, it's not much different from English, really.
But well, what do you think about Irish audiences?
Very good.
Do you expect us to go here in Dublin tonight?
I hope so, yeah.
Dick, we've heard it said that this long hair makes you look like women. What do you think of this?
I think it's a dirty lie. I said lie.
No, well, I don't know. No, I don't think you know.
In 1966, I was blessed to see Bob Dylan and what became the band at the Adelphi in Mid Abbey Street in Dublin. And that was fantastic. I mean, sitting there, I'd never seen as much equipment in my life before. On the stage, it looked like Cape Canaveral.
The sweet, pretty things on Vietnam, of course. The city fathers they're trying to endorse. The reincarnation of Paul Revere's horse. But the town has no need to be nervous.
Beforehand, I'd wandered backstage and I'd gone up the steps in the Adelphi and went into this room. And there was this bunch of people, and they looked like a cross between spacemen and sort of hillbillies. And that was the band. And then this fellow rattled up the stairs. It looked like as if he'd stuck his finger into a light socket. He was visually trembling. That was Bob Dylan. So they ambled onto the stage, and up to then one had seen all these bands, and they'd run on the stage and go 1, 2, 3, and they're off. These guys just ambled on, and they sort of tuned up lackadaisically with their backs and thing, and then turn around and, I see you got a brand new leopard skin pillbox hat. Never the same since. Hallelujah.
Medicine man comes and he shuffles inside. He walks with a swagger and he says to the bride, stop all this weeping, swallow your pride. You will not die, it's not poison. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with the tombstone blue.
I'm not convinced that anyone in rock and roll is a genius. You know, being a genius is inventing penicillin or the cure for AIDS or something like that. That doesn't mean to say I don't think people aren't talented. Of course they are. And some of them, like Jimi Hendrix, bless him, and Mark Bolan, who I had the privilege and pleasure of working with, people like that, it's like it goes beyond practice and skill. It's as if they have something else, as if they just came here and visited us for a while and then used off again. Well, you can bump and grind. Years and years and years and years ago, my Uncle Ted, God bless him, he was the ship's doctor and he loved classical music. And he asked me, would I mind taping his LPs on this tape recorder he had. It was a reel-to-reel tape recorder, an old-fashioned thing called Ferrograph. And I remember very well sitting there taping Bach for him. And because it wasn't automatic levels on the tape recorder, I'd have to imagine what was going to happen in the music next, you know. And Bach taught me about bass and the sound of bass. And it was very interesting because, as I say, I had to imagine or guess what was going to happen next, and that taught me a lot about the construction of it. Van Morrison is one of the greats of all time, you know, and right now they've re-released Astral Weeks with different versions and longer versions. There's a beautiful longer version of Ballerina, for instance. First time I listened to it, I was on acid. And my friend Simon Stable, God bless him, said, it sounds like waterfalls, doesn't it? I said, yes, it does. It sounds like waterfalls. And it does.
Spread your wings. Come on, fly wild. Straight to child. You know you're only lonely 22 story block, and that somebody, not just anybody, wanted to get close to you. For instance, me, babe.
The experience of music for me, personally speaking, is emotional, it's sexual, it's passionate, it's feelingful. If music doesn't have any emotion to it, to me it has no point. You know, I think even Kraftwerk, for instance, who are mechanically orientated, are very feelingful. It's emotional music. Music has to have emotion, otherwise it's just pap.
Ballerina.
Music out of Ireland, well, we had the Dubliners who did it their way. They were, in a kind of way, like a punk rock group. In other words, they didn't bend to any rules. They did exactly what they wanted, and they were hugely successful at it. And unwittingly, they informed everyone who came since. Wonderful people out of Ireland like them and Van Morrison and Taste and Rory Gallagher and Thin Lizzy and Phil Lynott and the Pogues and right now the Stripes, the Hot Sprockets and the Troubled Pilgrims, who are the Revive Radiators from Space. Ireland music, beautiful relationship. Rock and roll.
Blues. Sunday mornings indiscreet, Saturday left clues. Last night's scraps and filthy slaps, need hold no excuse. Are you cutting out or holding back a loophole or news?
Get me out, oh get me out, cause I'm here to bruise. Oh get me out.
Well, this fellow, Dr. Winston O'Boogie, better known as John Lennon, I went up to see him at Top of the Pops, and to cut a very long story short, we were in the dressing room. Call came for the Plastic Ono Band to go and do their thing. So he leant over me, and a bit like a chap asking a girl to dance in Liverpool, the drunk fellow, you know, so are you getting up? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, the Plastic Ono Band is everyone. So I went and banged a tambourine to Instant Karma.
Instant karma's gonna get you, gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together, pretty soon you're gonna be dead. What in the world are you thinking of? Laughing in the face of love.
Doing it, I thought, oh my God, you know, he was singing live, and I thought, God, I probably, and I was just to his left, and I'd probably put him off banging this thing in his ear.
Better get yourself together, darling.
Join the human race.
What was John Lennon like? An incredibly amazing bunch of people. On the Zoo TV tour with you two, my official credentials read Guru, Viber and Disc Jockey. Now, on the first two, I'm not entirely sure what I did, you'd have to ask them, but on the third one, the DJ thing, it's Guru, Viber and DJ, I would go on before the band and play records in a silver-covered open-top Trabant in my cloak with Elvis on the back of it in a crown of thorns, vibe up the people, get them loose as a goose for the Fab Four.
Secret that our world is in darkness tonight. They say the sun is sometimes eclipsed by a moon. You know I don't see you when she walks in the room. It's no secret.
My original role in music, I suppose, looking back retrospectively, was as a propagator. You know, if I liked something, I would turn people onto it, be it talking about it on television or playing records on the radio. I had the first rock and roll show on Radio Éireann, which broadcast above the GPO in Henry Street. The show was called Sounds Like B.P. Fallon, and I would play, you know, everything from Turkish nose flute music to Country Joe and the Fish to interviewing John Peel live on the radio, or Jimi Hendrix, bless him. Bless John Peel too. So it was really a sort of a cornucopia of whatever came to mind at that point in time. And the wonderful thing was nobody really knew what I was at, so they just let me get on with it. A couple of times I was hauled across the coals. One time was for playing Lay Lady Lay by Bob Dylan. Oh, we can't have that, you know, lay across my big brass bed. Good Lord. And the other time was for playing the Ballad of John and Yoko, Christ, they're going to crucify me. Can't have that on Holy Irish Radio.
Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big breast bed. Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big breast bed. Whatever colors you have in your mind, I show them to you, and you see them shine. Lay, lady, lay.
What's it like being old? I've no idea. You know, forever young, as Bob Dylan would say. You see, age is a state of mind. It's of the heart and the soul and the spirit. Now, you know, does one get a bit creaky as you go on? Yes, you do. Well, then just drink more coconut oil or fish oil if you're not vegan, you know, and then you won't creak anymore.
I want to ask you a question. The question is this. Does anyone care what anyone says in rock and roll?
Your mind can be kept fresh by just taking in new stuff and being open-minded and not letting the cobwebs settle, you know. Now, will we be here forever? Probably not. Nonetheless, it's bloody brilliant while we are. The best way to survive in life is keep on keeping on. I was sitting in a club in New York and Jack White, the renowned Jack White, he of the White Stripes and beyond, came up to me and said, would I like to go down to Nashville and make a record with him that he would produce and put out on his Third Man record label. So I did. And then I did that, and then I thought, well, I should have a band. So I rang three people. I rang three friends, Aaron Lee Tajan, who'd been in the reconstructed New York Dolls, Clem Burke, who was the drummer in Blondie, and is the drummer in Blondie, and Nigel Harrison, who had been the bass player in Blondie. And they all said yes. And then I sat there and thought, oh my God, what have I done now? I'm the singer in the band. So then we started writing songs, then we thought we'd better make an album. And that's how that happened. It wasn't planned. I've had a completely self-obsessive life. You know, I've really just only done things that I wanted to do that gave me pleasure, that turned me on. We're born and then we die, and the middle bit is up to us. And I think the middle bit is to have fun and work hard and be constructive and try and help your friends and help people generally. I don't think we're here to suffer. I mean, I know we're not. We're here to have some fun and have a laugh, you know, because one day we'll be above the clouds hanging out with old Shep.
As long as no one gets hurt or lets the devil in.
And it's just sometimes, you know, if you trust in the angels and allow them to push you or allow them to wink and say, come this way, then sometimes the voyage is really elucidating.
No black man could be so brilliant without the devil getting his soul when he dies.
There are many, many songs that are playing in my head all the time. I think one of the most beautiful songs ever is Forever Young by Bob Dylan. I think it's wonderful. Wonderful lyrics. May God bless and keep you always.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay.
A little thought for the day, if I may be allowed, please. Be who you are, become who you will be. Do not be afraid. Fear is your only enemy, though in the darkness lie the most mysterious jewels. Trust yourself. You are your own guide and your friends who love you. Amen.
May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous. Stand upright and be strong. And may you stay.
Forever young.